This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, here we go on a Wednesday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you as we inch closer and closer to kickoff in New Orleans, Super Bowl 59, of course, right here on your home for the Chiefs, 96.5 The Fan. You guys can hit us up on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. Coming up in 30 minutes, our Odyssey NFL insider, Ross Tucker, going to join us.
Probably for the final time this season.
I think so.
We don't normally have him on post-Super Bowl week.
Probably not, especially if the Chiefs win, because Wednesday, when we normally have him on, would be parade day or whatever that's going to look like if the Chiefs do, in fact, three-peat. But Ross Tucker's in New Orleans. He's kind enough to call back in around 10:30. And then at 11 o'clock, we'll talk to someone that we haven't heard on this station in a bit, and that is former Chief Super Bowl champ, a three-time All-Pro, current New Orleans Saints safety Tyrann Mathieu, the Honey Badger, going to call in around 11 o'clock today. We'll get his perspective. Definitely want to ask about Spags because that was his guy in Kansas City, and obviously he continues to have all this success. And we'll find out if what he makes of for the conspiracies out there. I mean, he was part of the beginning of this dynasty, Tyrann Mathieu was. What does he make of people trying to discredit the dynasty because of all the referee stuff?
I imagine, knowing Tyrann Mathieu and the strong opinions that he possessed in the time he was here, and now I obviously see them less because he's not in town, I assume still possesses a strong opinion. He's going to call it nonsense. Nonsense. It's all social media created by losers. People, the losers, like the people who didn't win. That is who has been sending this nonsense across and going through all this. It's, you know how it is. Oh, I'm sorry that your team's not winning. And, you know.
So it'd be good to catch up with Tyrann Mathieu at 11 o'clock here on 96.5 The Fan. We know a lot of this game is going to be centered around the defenses. As much as it is about, you know, Jalen Hurts and Patrick Mahomes, it's about the defenses. The talk about the Eagles defense. And the numbers for the Eagles have been impressive, right? Number one pass defense. That's a fact. That's what the Philadelphia Eagles bring to the table. Then you take a look and say, all right, well, how does Patrick Mahomes fare against number one pass defenses? Now, it's a small sample size in the playoffs, but still bigger sample size than anybody else because he's been in the playoffs more than anybody else. But
this is just the playoffs. He's pretty good in the regular season, too, by the way.
Among all quarterbacks with two or more playoff starts versus the number one pass defense since pre-Super Bowl merger, since 1950. Number one in points per game, 37. Number one in record, 3-0.
Pretty good.
Number one in completion percentage, 70.8. Number one in touchdown ratio per game, 2.7. Oh, and number one passer rating, 108.5.
Okay,
Cody, that's pretty
so
good.
That's better than his career passer rating. That's better than most career passer. That's probably better than any passer rating for anybody maybe during that entire time. But it's like, that's against number one ranked defenses in the playoffs. So they're going up against a team that dominated the pass game the entire season. They had 17 damn games, 16 damn games to do it. And he's facing them in what is the most pressure-packed situation imaginable, the playoffs. And all you're telling me is that he goes for 300 yards, three tutties, and nearly perfect? Like, that tells you all you need to know. And look, the history of the NFL actually bears this out. There was a stat earlier this season in the NFL talking about this. Your number one ranked defense means a lot less against a number one ranked quarterback than anyone else. Mahomes counteracts any ability you have to regularly do that. And what I have to rate some of these facts to, some of those stats to, is I'm going to guess that the first time one of these pass defenses actually feels a little heat, they panic. You've been the number one pass defense all year, and you're like, hey, all this stuff we do is not working. What the hell's going on? And they freak out, and they make mistakes. Because explain to me otherwise how he's picking apart the league's best pass defenses.
It's the extra time to prep. It's the Andy Reid, essentially, extra bye week that you get in a lot of these games. Not every single playoff game, but in the Super Bowl, you always get the gap. If you're a number one seed, you get the gap, the bye week there as well. I think that's part of the equation. And then it's just what we know. We've said it over and over throughout this dynasty run, whether it's Mahomes or Kelce in particular, there's just a different level of their play. A switch is flipped, whatever phrase you want to use to describe it. And the numbers back it up. It's not something that you just throw out there and you don't have anything to back it up. We just went through it. There are five different key categories against number one defenses in the playoffs, and nobody
dominates.
And not just being like, oh, he's pretty. Nobody's been better since 1950. So yes, this would also include
so just
Tom Brady.
It's probably just some dude like Bart Starr or some nonsense.
Among all quarterbacks with two or more playoff starts against number one pass defenses, he's first. Now, I'd be curious, maybe when we reset this, we could look. I'm fascinated to know where Tom Brady is in this same thing. How many number one defenses did Brady play in the playoffs, and what were his numbers? I'm guessing his numbers were pretty darn good as well. But remember, there was a lot of years, and it's fine. Just like this Chiefs team is still overall, I think, carried by the defense, despite putting up 32 points against Buffalo. I'm imagining his numbers are pretty darn good, but they're not the same level. You know, most importantly, it's the fact that you're 3-0 in the playoffs. I don't really care what your numbers are. Just did you win or not? We don't in the regular season,
but it's easier to win when you play at that level.
No doubt. You know? All of a sudden your team is scoring 37 points per game. We know this year, this offense wasn't anywhere near that, but last week they put up 32, a season high against Buffalo. We know the last time they played the Eagles, it was 2 years ago, different team. They had to put up 38. 35 wouldn't have been good enough. It was 38-35 win against Philadelphia.
So a lot of this comes into, and Buffalo's come into the playoffs with a top five defense. Three of the four times they have lost to Kansas City in the playoffs, they came into the playoffs with a top five defense. Any of those games low scoring? No! Mahomes put up as many points as he felt necessary. This all comes back to just what has separated him. This is why, like, you know, like people will be like, well, it's hard to get in the GOAT conversation because of the sheer number of rings. Tom Brady got to win some Super Bowls because he came into the playoffs with a top ranked defense, and Bill Belichick made sure it mattered. Patrick Mahomes has come in now in the last couple of years with a good defense. And anytime he has a good defense, as we know, they win it. Like, if they've got a mediocre defense to bad defense, it's harder. Maybe they lose the Super Bowl. Maybe this. Like, maybe takes them to an AFC title game and they lose. But if they have a top 10 defense, they win. Patrick Mahomes, now in the postseason, including this last game against Buffalo, is 17-3. So in 20 games, he is 17-3. He has thrown for 5,557 passing yards and 43 touchdowns to 8 interceptions. He's a monster. And against top defenses, it doesn't matter. Like, so like, if you're ever like, well, I think this game's going to be low scoring because the Eagles defense is so good. No, it's not. He will score on them. He scores in the Super Bowls. He scores in the AFC title games. He scores against top ranked defenses. You should not be thinking that's the way they're going to lose. If the Eagles can't score, they're screwed. Like, it's a problem, because Kansas City will pull up a certain number of points.
Well, yesterday we referenced the double-digit stuff. You know, the Chiefs have trailed by double digits in all these Super Bowls. We know they've been able to win three of them, but they've trailed by double digits. It is way more problematic. We'll ask Ross Tucker this and see if he agrees. I think it's pretty obvious at this point, but we'll see, which is what team is in bigger trouble down 10 points early on in the game? I think the answer is Philadelphia, because of what they want to do. They don't throw the ball a lot, even though they have playmakers on the outside and A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith. But it's about Saquon, right? They want to be able to play their tempo, their style of game. The Chiefs, you don't want to be down double digits. Nobody does, but they've come back from double digits in Super Bowls three times. We know this offense is able to, even this year, I know people want to talk about, like, oh, I don't think they have the explosives. It's not about the explosives. They can still sustain drives when they have to have it. And they did that against Buffalo, ultimately. And they put up a season high 32 points. So that's definitely part of the equation. But that stat in the graphic, it was actually from NFL Network that in against these top pass defenses, the numbers are absolutely off the charts. It's pretty ridiculous to think about what he's been able to do.
Like I would just tell you historically, like I would think Jalen Hurts, as we'd pointed out, was in the MVP-ish conversation a couple of years ago before he faced Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs.
Yeah, if he doesn't get hurt that year, Cody, I think he wins it.
Maybe, but you know, I'd say the same thing about Carson Wentz. I'm not like blown away with him, but so like it just kind of depends.
Carson Wentz was out for the rest of the year. I mean, Jalen Hurts missed three games or four games and then something like that, and then came back. I know, I'm just saying like Carson Wentz was done. That's why Nick Foles was able to lead him to a Super Bowl.
It's nuts. That's just how good, once again, a Howie Roseman-led roster was. That's why he is.
Sure.
The fact that he had a winning team with Carson Wentz. He won a Super Bowl, even though Nick Foles had to take that team over. They've taken Jalen Hurts to two Super Bowls. There's a reason why the league generally tries to argue between whether Howie Roseman is the best GM in football or whether Brett Veach is the best GM in football. But they typically counteract each other. Mahomes is too good for those. And I think that this is one of those things that where when I start looking at matchups for the game, Philadelphia does have a really good defense, and they are led in their pass defense by two incredibly young corners, including a couple of great rookies, right? I don't feel like that's what you want against Patrick Mahomes. I don't care how good they've been all year. They now have to figure out what Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes are doing against them. So Cooper DeJean can be as good as he's been all year. I'll still take my chances with a rookie corner lining up on the other side against Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes and Matt Nagy, whatever, right? That seems to me to be a very favorable matchup for Kansas City. Not like, oh no, their corners are too good, as they go for the threesome, as we've said on the show.
Hashtag threesome. That's not trademarked that we know of.
No, nope. Hashtag threesome. Hashtag congrats on the threesome if they win it. You know, whatever you need to move through the thing.
Our big game coverage on 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by Community America Credit Union. Member owned, open to all, invested in you. Join today at communityamerica.com. Again, in 20 minutes, Ross Tucker will join us from New Orleans, our Odyssey NFL insider. We all know last week or 2 weeks ago, it has been almost at this point, against Buffalo, the tush push, the Chiefs fared very well against that. They knew that Josh Allen always goes left on the tush push, and they shut him down on the fourth and one that has no controversy around it or anything like that. They were able to come up with a stop.
I still don't understand the people that are like, he got it, and you know that
you can't
a fact,
definitively but say he did or didn't, but the ruling on the field was he didn't get it, so they didn't overturn it. Are you guys feeling better about this? Because the Chiefs doing it against Josh Allen, I think, has caused some people to be way more confident against the tush push. I'm not really there, though. This is a different animal against Philadelphia. They're the creators of the tush push. Jalen Hurts.
The brotherly shove, as they called it for a while.
That's right.
You know?
I guess in Philly, they probably
still
do. Tush
push is what that's generic. Mm-hmm. Brotherly shove is like Kleenex. That's the brand. You know, that's the brand name of theirs. You know,
I think Burkhardt always Burkhardt might say that about 10 times.
Brotherly shove?
He says
it's
that
their
every
thing
time.
In Philly, and I get it. They call it that. Look, it's an unbelievably effective play, even though it's boring and it's aesthetically boring to watch. But nobody does it better than Jalen Hurts. And the reason why
probably
they're so successful at it is, nobody has more lower body strength at the quarterback position.
He's like, a freak,
He's a freak. Lower body strength is insane. Oh, and then now they have Saquon. You want to talk about just a freak at the gym in terms of some of these videos since his college days.
Remember those times he's doing like those deadlifts with
it's insane.
2 tons of weights on or whatever.
His legs are truly, like, everybody always say like tree trunks, but like
truthfully, might actually be
tree trunks. Like, so they're just better at doing it than Buffalo is. So while it's nice to know that the Chiefs were able to slow it down, different animal. 2 years ago in the Super Bowl, the Eagles had success doing it. The key, it sounds so simple and easy. It's not. The key is going to be, can you prevent them from having a third and goal at the 2 or the 1? Can it be 3rd and goal from the 5? Can it be a 4th and 2 or 3 instead of a 4th and 1? If it's 3rd and 4, can you keep it to where they don't, you know, are you able to hopefully force them to pass the ball so where it's still 4th and 4? That's the name of the game. I don't think you're going to consistently be able to stop it.
You're going to lose some. They lost some in the last Super Bowl.
Drew, you brought up in pre-show, you're like, hey, the Commanders were able to slow it down. I'm sure there's some things on tape the Chiefs are going to look at and see what do they do differently. I just think it's more about setting up the situations where how many opportunities are you going to give them to do the tush push? Can you limit them to, you know, 5 of them, 4 of them during the game, and specifically away from the goal line?
I think just stay out of that third, because with third, we saw it with the Commanders.
Third and 2 or 3.
They'll run it 2 times in a row. And just stay out. If you can make it 3rd and 5+, then you get yourself out of that situation more often than not, unless they get to fourth and one, and then they'll do it. But even the offensive line, like, I know that Jason Kelce obviously isn't there, but they've had the injury issues. Like, Juergens didn't play.
It's worked fine even without Kelce.
He didn't play, and then
but
he had to come in.
Well.
Well, that's why he didn't play. Dickerson was in there. They struggled. Dickerson got hurt. Juergens came back in the game, even though he was supposed to not play. So I don't know if their injury issues are better. I would assume so, since it's been a couple weeks. But that might be something to follow as well in terms of them being able to stop it.
This year, the tush push, 82.4% success rate in short yardage for them.
But I think was it higher than that last year?
Let's see.
It was like 90.
I think it's a slight difference.
Here we go. I'm trying to pull it up.
I'm not saying they're not effective. Yeah. With the 80% success rate on any play in the NFL is nuts.
So this year, 82.4.
Okay.
88.1 last year.
Okay, so it's
6%.
Not nothing.
It's a pretty decent
and
dip.
The Chiefs have proven to be better against it. I think part of it is personnel. Their offensive line is struggling more, not just because of the Jason Kelce thing. They've had injuries there, so they haven't been as good. And when you have a player like Chris Jones, and I think actually in a weird way, Leo Chanel, like people who are athletic mismatches for people where you might be able to utilize them in slightly different ways, that's why I think they're better than other people at making that stop. Do I think the Chiefs are going to be successful in stopping that all the time? No. They're going
to lose. I mean, to set the percentage, 82%
of the time. They're going to lose on some of those. And you're just going to have to accept it. It's fine. If it's third and one, be like, all right, this is a first down. How do they get a stop on the next couple of downs is all you're asking yourself. Because unless, and we haven't seen a ton of this still from Philly, is unless it's the Super Bowl and they got some wrinkle to pull back out of that thing.
Well, I'm sure they do. They dive
the ball down the field. They haven't done it a ton. They haven't done it zero, but they haven't done it a ton. Then they're not going to, just as long as they don't catch Kansas City sleeping in that way, I'm okay with the normal amount of tush push success. That just comes with the territory of playing the Eagles.
Yeah, there'll be a wrinkle or two off of it. I think that was it the Packers game that they did have a, I think it was the Packers game. I'm not sure. Maybe I'm missing the weeks up.
Could be.
They had a wrinkle, and they ended up throwing the football out of it. And that's where you have to, all of a sudden, it's one thing to give up the 2-yard tush push. It's another to give up a 30-yard gain. So it's, you know, the big plays are key. I heard Mitch Holt this talking with Carrington on Monday in regards to just Barkley in the big plays too. You know, we've said everybody understands it. Like, hey, he can get his yards, but you can't let him get the 50-plus yarder. I believe Mitch said that in the last 3 or 4 years that the Chiefs have only given up like a handful of 60-plus yard runs or 50-plus yard runs over the last couple of years.
They also, that Saquon's been better at doing that than pretty much anyone in the league, I imagine, this year. I told you that stat that's crazy. This is always like system and place and everything else that like fits you better. Like everybody has known, even when he was on loser teams, that Saquon Barkley was one of the most talented running backs in the entire NFL. Everybody knew that. They didn't know if he was going to come back from the injury, but nobody questioned his elite level of talent. The fact that in one single year in Philadelphia, he has more 50-plus yard rushing touchdowns than he had his entire time as a New York Giant tells you all you need to know. He had 4 years to accomplish that feat, 5 years, and he was hurt for one of them, but 5 years to accomplish that feat, and in 1 year in Philly, he equaled all of his 50-yard touchdowns because they're dangerous, because you have to respect
great
A.J. Brown. You have to respect great offensive line, and he's an elite-level talent, and they're a functional organization. Functional organizations will make players look a little better. I don't think it's ever the jump that people pretend in their head it's going to be. Like, you know, fans typically think some 700-yard receivers come to your town and now they're 1,200 because they're just here instead. But, I mean, you can see the difference with Saquon. I mean, he's the most dangerous player on the field for them, obviously. On Sunday, I don't imagine anybody feels different.
And there's no doubt. I mean, he's an incredible talent, and he's putting together a historically great season. And you're not stopping him. It's about limiting him. But I'll be honest, I told you, and later on we'll go through some prop bets, and then tonight I've got that betting show on from 6 to 7 here on 96.5 The Fan. We'll go through all sorts of prop bets, but like I'm waiting for the Barkley number to keep going up, and I'm going to bet the under on it. Like last week or 2 weeks ago, it was 100. It was a crazy number. It was 130, and it's nowhere near that. It's like 110-ish. It was 130. He had that 60-yard run, and it still went under. My point being is, like, there's, you know, that's a lot of yards still. Like, I just don't believe the Chiefs are.
You could give up one 50-yard touchdown, just not multiple.
I don't believe the Chiefs are giving up 140 yards to Saquon Barkley. I just don't. Last year, Christian McCaffrey, incredible back as well. He had 80 on the ground, 80 receiving. But the 80 on the ground was, what, 22 carries, something like that?
Yeah, it was work. Like, it was hard work.
Barkley's going to touch the ball probably 25, 30 times in the game. But
they're not going to forget to give it to Saquon, right?
I don't believe
I've just seen a few too many teams against the Chiefs legitimately forget who they are as an organization.
I don't think Kellen Moore...
They're just like going
Moore,
the opposite of who they are.
I don't believe Kellen Moore will do that. I don't think they'll pull a Harbaugh and Ravens from last year running it six times. No, I think they know what they are offensively. I will say that. Now, if they get down, this is to the point earlier, if they are down double digits, the way the Chiefs have been down double digits in Super Bowls, then it's a question, do they stick with it? If they're down 10-0 and it's early second quarter,
do they just try to open
time,
it up to A.J. Brown?
Like, yeah. If they're smart, they continue to try to stick with their game plan.
I think so.
Or does Nick Sirianni and Kellen Moore, at that point in time, do they feel like, yeah, they have to throw the ball around the yard and that's where Jalen Hurts makes a mistake? That's the ideal scenario for the Chiefs. I don't know if the Chiefs will get up double digits in this game. All I know is they have been down double digits in every one of these Super Bowls, and we all know they were able to come back in all of them except for the worst one of the bunch, and that was Tampa. Coming up in 10 minutes, Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL Insider, is going to join us. Thinking of perhaps some talented players that have been on the move. You mentioned Barkley moving from the Giants to the Eagles. Well, we know Myles Garrett yesterday requested a trade. He's ironically enough down on Radio Row in New Orleans as well. So I know he's promoting something, but also I'm sure Cleveland is feeling great that he's doing all these interviews the day after
he requested a trade.
Hey, dude, someone's
paying him a couple hundred grand probably to walk to all these tables.
Absolutely,
I take the check.
Probably
too.
Doing some sleep number endorsement or something. So the Chiefs are co-favorites offshore at Bovada.
That's surprising.
To trade for Myles Garrett. Now, we had Nate Taylor on the show yesterday,
okay.
and he was going through kind of like we are, which is like, okay, all the different things, Cody, that would have to happen for that. Now, Myles Garrett wants to go to contender. Right, check that box.
Chiefs have that covered.
Ultimately, that's why they're co-favorites. We've said this for years now. When you're the Patriots, it happened to any free agent that's not a quarterback, any star player that wants to be traded, the Chiefs are going to be in the top 2 to 3 in odds for every player because most of those guys that want to get traded say they want to go win a Super Bowl. And when you are in a dynasty like the Patriots were or the Chiefs are now, you're going to be at the top of the list. It doesn't, like, that to me is what this says more than anything. Not that they have some inside scoop that the Chiefs are interested in trading for Myles Garrett.
They just say putting the Chiefs at the top allows you to maybe mention them before it.
Yeah.
Look, I'd entertain it. Anytime elite level players are on the market, I'm interested if they're interested in being here. I think you'd have to ask yourself one real question about it is, would you give up draft capital and have to pay both guys and trade him for George Karlaftis? Because that's what you have to ask is, would you be willing to give up a second round pick and George Karlaftis? Because you don't have to pay either. So like, let's take the money out of it for just a minute. Myles Garrett, if you're going to trade for him, you're likely to probably continue to try to sign him for an extension. Plus he's already making a lot of money. And George Karlaftis is going to get paid by somebody, whether it's Kansas City this time around or the next time. Someone's going to give George Karlaftis a hefty sum of cash. The gap between Garrett and Karlaftis is not nothing. Okay? I mean, it's not nothing.
The reigning defensive player of the year.
There's a gap there. And the idea that I could have Chris Jones and Myles Garrett on the same defensive line does sound like the league's best defensive line, even if I know no other players who are on it. Their problem is I don't think they can do sunk cost into two players at that price point. That's why they had to have all these one-year deals. That's why it was like, you know, even like a couple years, they're bringing back Dana and Turk and all these guys that had to like come back to kind of fill back in the offensive line. You bring in Garrett. I think you got to do that again.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that because of the draft picks. And this is the consequence. Like you can cover mistakes and still get to a Super Bowl clearly. And that's why Brett Veach has done a great job. But when you have the left tackle situation, long-term answers backfire the way it has, which was Wanye and obviously Kingsley, who looks like he's going to eventually be a guard for this team. And they don't have a long-term answer at left tackle. Well, where does that hurt you? It didn't hurt you on the field per se in terms of getting to a Super Bowl, because you're here thanks to Joe Tooney, but it has long-term repercussions in how you build your roster. The fact that you whiffed on a tackle or two. So that's still a major pressing issue for them after the Super Bowl. And I'm not giving up my first round pick that I might need to use to either draft one again or stockpile picks to move up in the first or stockpile picks to go pull off an Orlando Brown Jr. type trade like they did a couple years ago for
it's
a
true.
Veteran.
If you're using picks, you don't want to be using him on tackle.
If they would
defensive line though, man. I mean, you could never have too many good defensive linemen or great ones in this case.
If you hit on Kingsley and you had him on a rookie deal, and you're like, oh, we're good. Well, then obviously that's a position you don't have to waste assets on. I'm willing to go luxury shopping. You know, you can't do that. I would love to go buy. We all have that thing that we're like, I don't really need it. It'd be nice to buy it.
But I got some extra cash, to go get it.
But I
got
to pay the car payment. Even that trip to the Bahamas seems nice, but
Brakes. Like in this case, it's like, I need to fix the leak in my engine. That's what left tackle is at this point. It's not a side luxury. Yeah. It's either you want that coach purse for your wife or you want to fix the leak in the engine. And you're like, well, maybe that because of the offensive line problems. They do have one big advantage is they are going into next year, I think already in pretty good shape at wide receiver, not even knowing if DeAndre Hopkins or Hollywood Brown or anybody came back on a 1-year deal and are paying no money. They got wide receiver locked down cheap next year. Xavier Worthy, Rashee Rice on nothing deals. Let's just say they brought back Hollywood Brown. I'd say same risk as the time before. Guy can't get on the field, but we obviously see the impact he has for the Chiefs when he is on the field, so you probably take that chance again. Let's say another $10 million there. Well, you'd have your number 1, 2, and 3 wide receivers making $1 million, $1 million, and $10 million. I mean, you can't do wide receiver for a championship contending team a lot less than that, but you'll be paying your right tackle, center, left guard, unless Tooney's going somewhere I don't know about, and in search of a left tackle. So, like, your whole offensive line might make up all the difference on what you're trying to pay a wide receiver. The problem is I think they got a draft again at left tackle. I think you can go out and spend the money again while you still got Jawan Taylor and these other guys on the books.
You either got to move up in the draft, because we've had this scenario for a couple of years now. I think we've learned by now that at 31 or 32, which is where they basically draft every year, you're not probably getting a starting left tackle. They thought they had one in Kingsley in the second round. You say, so what are you talking about? But that's the point, is that the gap in talent after the first 15 picks at left tackle is a huge gap. And this year's draft,
those picks to go.
You need, either trade up, or I would be interested. Is there a guy that's on a final year of his rookie deal, like Orlando Brown Jr. was a couple of years ago?
Who's just a good, stable left tackle that you're willing to pay?
And you bring him in and let it play out the final year of the rookie deal. And if he's that dude, then you pay him. Obviously, you hope it turns out better than Orlando Brown Jr. But type of trade, I'm not saying trade for Orlando Brown Jr. I'm saying that type of trade in the same scenario would be something I'm interested in. We're just getting started here on a Wednesday. We're going to head down to New Orleans next. Check in with our Odyssey NFL insider, Ross Tucker. Get his perspective on perhaps how good this Eagles offensive line is and the task the Chiefs front is going to have coming up here on 96.5.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Fan. All right, back here on Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Coming up in 30 minutes, we'll be joined by former Chiefs safety, Super Bowl champ, a three-time All-Pro, currently New Orleans Saint, Tyrann Mathieu, Super Bowl in his hometown, his home state. So it'll be good to catch up with Tyrann Mathieu in just a bit. It's always good to catch up with our guy, Ross Tucker. He's out on the Pheasant Fest hotline. National Pheasant Fest and Quail Classic is coming to Kansas City Convention Center March 7th to the 9th. Visit pheasantfest.org. And of course, Ross Tucker's got his Ross Tucker Football Podcast, the daily NFL podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. I must say as well, Ross, you got quite the setup there on Radio Row, man. That's big time.
Yeah, you like that? That's pretty cool. I'm looking at it. My recording window is 11 to 1. And right now where I'm going to be recording, Jaden Daniels is talking to the Golics. So
nice.
There's a lot of people around the set right now. So I got you guys, and I got like a 5-minute break, and then I'll be recording a lot of interviews. So
we appreciate you coming on the show. How is New Orleans, though? You've been to a lot of these. I think I saw you said, 17 Super Bowl Radio Row? Is that right?
I don't know. No, that was a reply to Kyle Brandt about how many fake conversations I've had so far.
Okay, I got you. Okay.
How many of those like conversations? But no, I would say, starting in like 2009, I want to say over the last 15 years, I've been at 2/3 of them probably, you know, okay. For various reasons. There were some I haven't been to. So I would say this is my 10th in-person, like Radio Row Super Bowl, I would guess, somewhere in that range.
It feels like it's been so long. Can you even remember doing a Super Bowl Radio Row in which the Chiefs were not one of the two teams involved?
You know, you're gross, dude. I think. No, I can't. What was the Super Bowl before this started?
Rams-Bengals would have been the only one,
Was that Rams-Patriots?
Rams-Bengals are in the middle of this run, obviously, right?
Yeah, but I didn't go to L.A.
Oh, okay.
So I definitely didn't do
that Rams-Patriots,
one,
probably.
I did Rams-Patriots, and I did Eagles-Patriots for sure for a company called The Zone.
Okay.
So I was definitely doing stuff those years, yes.
So almost a clean decade. Let's look at this matchup, because, Ross, I think it's really interesting when you start boiling down. I think there's, like, legitimate arguments to be made on either side. So I'll ask you one question to start. Which of these two teams has the better defensive line in your mind?
Yeah, that's a good question. I would say the Eagles, probably. I think it's comparable. I really do. I think Jalen Carter and Chris Jones are comparable. I think you have to give it to Chris Jones based on how many times he's done it in big games. I think after that is where it gets interesting. I think Sweat and Karlaftis are probably a wash. I would say that Nolan Smith has really come on. He was the second first-round pick they took out of Georgia last year, and I think he leads all NFL players in sacks this postseason. I think he's got maybe 4.5. So he's really, come on, it's crazy. You guys will appreciate this, but he played like a lot in the last preseason game. I do the preseason game for the Eagles, and I want to say that he played like half, like the whole first half, which is not a good sign.
No, not like, usually, no.
That's not a good sign, and yet he's just gotten better and better. So they need those guys to win. You know, the two thoughts I would say I think are critically important as it relates to the Eagles is that whoever Tooney and Caliendo are blocking, if they get one-on-ones, those guys have to find a way to win. I suspect that the Chiefs will slide the line often in their direction, meaning Creed Humphrey has the inside for Caliendo. Caliendo has Tooney's inside, so they kind of have three guys to block two. What that means, though, is that you could argue the single most important one-on-one matchup of the Super Bowl could be my favorite offensive lineman in the league, Trey Smith, against Jalen Carter, the right guard for the Chiefs against the Eagles' best D tackle, who primarily lines up over the right guard. That is going to be incredible. Like, I could legitimately watch a camera that's just on those guys the whole game, because they're both incredible players, but maybe more importantly, they are junkyard dogs. Like, Jalen Carter, as we've seen too many times, is not afraid to punch you in the face, and I kind of think Trey Smith will punch him back. You know? So it's amazing. I had a chance to interview Trey Monday night. Just an awesome guy, and I hope you guys enjoy him in this game, because I highly suspect that, I don't know if it's the Titans or the Bears, but someone's going to make him the highest paid offensive guard in NFL history in March.
I think you're exactly right on that. I think we are going to watch his final game in a Chiefs uniform on Sunday in New Orleans, as we're talking to Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL Insider. All our guests are brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of your Kansas City Chiefs. Bud Light, easy to drink, easy to enjoy. Drink responsibly. Where would you put Nick Sirianni in kind of the coaching hierarchy in the league? You know, he's a controversial figure, I think is fair to say, with his the way he goes about his business, but he's in his second Super Bowl already.
Yeah, you know, I think he's a top 10 coach for sure. I'd have to go through and actually list them out. You know, and you can say, and people do a lot about how much talent they have, and I get that, but you know, there have been a lot of other talented teams that don't get to the Super Bowl two times in 3 years, right? I mean, if nothing else, he doesn't screw it up, number one. And then number two, the players really like him. You know, I'm talking off the air, right? I talk to these guys. They
you're the
really
second
like
guest
him.
In a row to mention that to. Somebody yesterday said that same thing, Ross.
Yeah, they you know what the most important thing is for a coach, I think, is to just be genuine. Just be authentic. And he is certainly that. I mean, there's no question he is that. And, you know, I think stylistically, his passion and emotion is a huge positive. It probably gets him in trouble, you know, every now and again. But the players are kind of okay with that. You know, he's trying to eliminate that part of it. It is interesting, though, how much people frame how they feel about someone like him based almost solely on those moments, as opposed to, you know, all the success you've had.
When you look at what it is, and I get you with like the genuine part of it and the not screwing it up part of it. I guess this always comes back to just, you know, the gap between. Like, I also think McDermott is a good coach, but I also said that the Bills should probably move on from him, because you have got to find a way to close the gap between what you are and what the Chiefs are. And you can't, you know, quarterback's quarterback, and Josh Allen's great. That gap, I think, is somewhat narrow anyway. Like, McDermott or the GM or something feel like a thing. Like, I don't know if it's just that Andy Reid is a gap between anybody right now, because I don't feel the way about every coach, but I still feel like the drop-off from Andy Reid to Sirianni can make the difference in a field goal game like the last Super Bowl.
Yeah, a couple thoughts on that. So, first of all, yeah, I mean, that's why in a close game, one-score game, I don't see many people picking the Eagles with Hurts and Sirianni over a team with two first-ballot Hall of Famers at quarterback and head coach.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen a large percentage of time, not always, you know, that these same Eagles beat Tom Brady and Bill Belichick with Doug Peterson and Nick Foles back in 2017. So it's not always, but over time, you know, the Hall of Fame head coach, Hall of Fame quarterback, they're going to win the vast majority of those games. I will say this, though. You know, Hurts is, we can have a debate about how good Hurts is and if he's a top 10 quarterback. I think a lot of people would say to you that he's not. So on some level, that makes what Sirianni's done even more impressive, right? You know, I know that Andy Reid's a great coach, and Aaron Reid's done awesome, but his quarterback might be the best guy that's ever played the position. So I think sometimes it's hard to separate those. I don't know what would happen if Sirianni was coaching the Chiefs and Andy Reid was coaching the Eagles. I would really like to see. I'm not saying that Sirianni's better than Andy Reid by any stretch. I just don't know. One of the things that makes football really hard, you know, this is not baseball where, you know, it's a pitcher, one pitcher to one batter. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on. And part of that has to do with the different moving parts. Eagles have the better roster, but the Chiefs had the better quarterback. You know, everybody's been saying all week, Eagles have the better roster. And I agree with that, right? But then someone said to me, do they really? I was like, what do you mean? I'm like, yeah, look at this guy. Look, you know, number one offensive line, number one, you know, this, that, running back. They said, okay, if you were starting a team, which roster would you want? Would you want the Chiefs roster or would you want the Eagles roster? And the truth is, I would want the Chiefs roster because I want Mahomes.
Right.
You know, like I can, yeah. I can do other stuff. I can make other stuff happen around Mahomes, but I can't make Hurts as good as Mahomes.
When you look at Saquon Barkley, we all know how special player he is. We know the track record. I'm sure it's been talked about there in New Orleans as much as it has anywhere as well, which is Steve Spagnuolo against running backs in the playoffs. He hasn't given up a 100-yard running back in 14 games, I think it's up to, at this point in time. What do you think the plan will be for Kansas City? You think they sell out on the run and say, beat us with A.J. Brown, Devonta Smith, one-on-one, we trust McDuffie and Watson? Or do you think the Chiefs will kind of play, I don't know, play back is the right way to phrase it, but how do you think they'll attack that?
It's a really interesting question because it's not a simple answer, because if you say stop the run and stack the box, I understand that, but that's where it gets his long runs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you might be able to stop a bunch, but then you're putting them in a situation where you've got a single high safety in the middle of the field. If Saquon gets past the second level, good luck to that guy. Whereas if you have two deep safeties, you know, those guys can kind of angle off of each other and give themselves a better chance to be able to not let Saquon go long. I don't know, man. I guess I kind of feel like let's make the Eagles prove that they can go the distance. I would not want Saquon to be breaking off 60, 70-yard runs. I might do more two-safety looks. They're going to change it up, but I might do a few more two-safety looks to change it up a little bit.
When you look at what, like, so because on the opposite end, it's always like I ask these questions because you're like, well, if you know what they're great at, why don't you do something about it? Patrick Mahomes running in the playoffs. Everybody knows he runs more. He's more effective in the playoffs. He does it to an almost perfect success rate. How has nobody, like, cracked that code, I guess, is what I would ask, Ross. And is it the undesigned nature of it and the idea that he's not a running quarterback so you don't really spy that changes it? Why can't anybody stop it?
Well, it is the non-design runs that are the tough part. And I think we've asked this about scrambling quarterbacks forever, and we always will. There's not a great answer, right? I mean, if you want to do a mush rush where you're designed to not let him escape the pocket and run, you can do that, but then you're not going to get nearly as much pressure on him. And he's probably going to pick you apart because he's Patrick Mahomes. If you want to get pressure on him, then you're going to create some seams. He's as good as we've ever seen at finding those and then taking it and running with it. The question, though, is then you can spy him. But we've seen a lot of examples. If you're spying him, you're probably playing man-to-man. So your spy better get him, you know, because if he doesn't get him, you're in trouble. And then you're playing man-to-man behind it, which I still think is better against the Chiefs. That's what I would do. I would spy Mahomes. I would play man-to-man behind it and take my chances if I'm the Eagles with my secondary, probably put Gardner Johnson on Travis Kelce, maybe even Blankenship, the other safety, as the spy, or maybe he's middle of the field and one of the linebackers spies Patrick. But that's what I would do. I certainly wouldn't play zone and let Travis Kelce just break my heart every third down.
All right, a couple quick questions at the end. Number one, people on the text line want us to ask you. They said you were just on Philly radio. Ask Ross who he wants to win the game.
Yes. So, well, you guys know, first of all.
Yeah. We know where you're from.
Eagles. Well, yeah, I mean, first of all, I grew up a huge Eagles fan, but they never wanted me. So I played for five other teams. But then I live back in the area now. I do their preseason games. I do 2 hours on WIP every week. I do two other shows for the Eagles organization themselves. And taking it a step further, on Thursday last week, after I spoke to you guys, I was so happy to be flying home on Friday to watch the game on TV. My older daughter, turning 13 on Sunday, likes Saquon Barkley and Cooper DeJean, and she said, Daddy, can you please take me to the Super Bowl for my birthday? So I was trying to avoid that. And I said, oh, honey, I don't know. I don't know if that's the best idea. And she said, okay, Daddy, I understand. I was like, okay, fine, we're going.
Awesome. Boy, she got you.
Too sweet and nice about it. So I'm flying back down Sunday morning.
Awesome.
And with my entire family, we're going to the game. So I definitely hope the Eagles win because since I work for the team, my family's very much Eagles fans. So I hope the Eagles win, but I don't know, I'm getting everybody mad, actually, because on WIP Radio in Philadelphia, I picked the Chiefs to win 27-24. So I have found a way. Usually you do it the other way.
You made everyone mad.
Find a way to try to make happy. I don't know. I mean, it would be great. I also want the Eagles to win just because I like fresh blood. I like new guys getting a chance to win. There aren't many guys that were on the team 7 years ago, right? So for most of these guys, they get to win. I would honestly be rooting for pretty much anybody other than the Chiefs. Because I don't see a lot of value in a lot of guys getting a third ring or a fifth ring or whatever it is for those guys. I'd rather see guys get a chance to win their first one.
So I totally get the, obviously it's awesome you're taking your family to the Super Bowl. That's incredible. And congratulations for you doing that on Sunday. But you don't appreciate the least, if take the Eagles out of it for a second. Like you said, against any team, you would root for that team, not the Chiefs. The three-peat part of it, as someone that played in the league, I mean, I'm not saying you don't respect what they're doing. That's not what you're saying. But like, Do you not appreciate the fact that they could do something that's never been done?
I absolutely appreciate it. And if they win, I will praise them for it and talk about how amazing it is. But that's not the same as me wanting them to win the game.
Gotcha. Yeah.
You know, I look at it as from a former player's perspective, where I want as many guys as possible to be able to have the ring ceremony, have the parade, you know, all of the things that go along with it. I don't want, you know, I don't know how many guys are still on the Chiefs roster from last year, but it seems like it's 40-something. I don't need all those guys to get a chance to experience it again.
I'm laughing.
Give me some fresh blood.
I'm laughing because if they win the Super Bowl on Sunday, there are members of the 2022 draft class who have been in the league 3 years and only won the Super Bowl. Trent McDuffie, George Karloftis, Nazi Johnson, Pacheco, etc. All of those guys will have been in the league for 3 years and won three Super Bowls in a row.
Yeah, I hate those guys. They don't know what the real world's like.
Yeah. Look, Ross, I need a Super Bowl champions hoodie for all 5 days of the week, man. I mean, they still need a couple more for me to be able to accomplish that. In all sincerity, though, Ross, we appreciate you.
You guys are obnoxious. Now I really want to believe.
We appreciate you coming on throughout the season. Seriously, I think this will be our last conversation with you for the year, but it's been a ton of fun. Great insight. Enjoy New Orleans. Enjoy the game with your family.
All right, sounds great. Great talk with you guys. See ya.
There you go. That's Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider. All our guests are brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors. Kansas City's geared up for their third straight title, and Academy Sports and Outdoors has everything you need to rep your team during their historic run.
They think that we're being smug now. You wait. Because if you think we're being smug now, if they win their third Super Bowl on Sunday, then we're probably having a completely different conversation. Because then I'll never let anybody ever hear the end of it forever, right? I mean, that's how I assume it would be for you, Gold, and for me.
Yeah, I think that's right. We're going to have Tyrann Mathieu join us in just a moment. I think we may end up having him a few minutes early. Former Chief Safety, obviously Super Bowl champion, going to join us here on 96.5 of the Fan. So we appreciate Ross joining us a little bit, but we'll have Tyrann Mathieu join us in just a bit. We'll actually get an earlier break in as well, and we'll talk to the former Chief. Want to get his perspective. I'll see the Super Bowl in his hometown, which is pretty cool. That's coming up next here on 96.5 The Fan.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games.
or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knix, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knix Menswear, your friend in style.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's A-L-M-A-S-E-D.com.